tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Community Radio during this special programming campaign, All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 3. This February and March, you will hear different marathons and series all brought to you by our talented programmers, including specials for Black History Month and International Women's Day. If you'd like to help KBOO reach our $22,000 goal by March 16th, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to the number 44321 right now.
Radio Lost and Found on every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
KBOO.
And you've tuned in to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, indeed. And right now we're live in the air room with Once Upon a Time, with our own Consuelo Miranda, and she's here, and there you go. Oh, you're welcome to call in. Number is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. You're welcome to participate in this show about poetry and autobiography. Consuelo?
Hi, good morning, Ender. Good morning, Johan, and everybody. I am very excited today. We have another wonderful show. Is going to be a little bit different because this time, if I may say, I am the guest. And also, we have another guest that is not here. She's already dead, but dead are people who are alive. And she is very alive because she's a very beloved writer in the state and in the world from Brazil. But before we go and we start, we start, as always, with the collaboration. And I will ask one more time, and I know that you are very generous and empathic with what we do in this program and in the station, and you will collaborate with us because we are trying to reach $22,000 by March 16. So you can send it by text to KBOO to 44321. So welcome, and we do appreciate, and we have to keep this wonderful station running for another 55 years to a century. Okay, I will explain a little bit about who is. I like to speak about writer in present tense, not in the past. Clarice Lispector, my friend here, Johan, he will give a different kind of a biography of her. I will explain how did I get to know her. I was already living in Corvallis at the time, yes, and I wanted to go and write another book. So I talked to my dear friend and professor, Alfonso Calderon, and I said, look, I am looking for a project, and he said, Clarice Lispector. But I don't know Clarice Lispector. Exactly. You need to know her. So start reading and looking for her. And by accident or coincidence, the same day I went to a post office and my father sent me the newspaper as he did every week, my beloved daddy, and was a wonderful article about Clarice Lispector. I couldn't believe it. So after that, I told Fred, my husband, you should apply for a Fulbright, and we go to Brazil. And that is the story. After that, he won the Fulbright. We went to Brazil. We live in Brazil for 6 months, and I did the research of Clarice Lispector. And finally, for my master's degree, this was my thesis, the book. So now, Johan has the floor, so he will speak a little bit about Clarice Lispector biography, when she was born, and all of that.
Well, I don't know exactly what year she was born. I forgot that part. But she was born in Ukraine. And because of the ravages of World War I, her family moved to Romania. And after a number of years in Romania, they moved to
Brazil.
Brazil, thank you. Because her mother had family in Brazil. So she was one of three sisters, and they grew up outside of Rio, I believe. And she began to write when she was very young. I think her first book was published in her early 20s. And that is what I recall from...
Can you tell us about his her most famous books?
Some of her must-read works are The Complete Stories of Clarice Lispector, translated by Katrina Dotson. The Hour of the Star by Clarice Lispector, translated by Benjamin Mosser. And Benjamin Mosser has also stated that Clarice Lispector is one of the most important Jewish writers since Kafka, which is quite a statement, really.
Fantastic, I think. The only woman.
Yes. A Breath of Life by Clarice Lispector, translated by Johnny Lorenz. And The Passion According to G.H. is also a Clarice Lispector book.
Okay, I think if in relation to her books, The Hour of the Star is one of my favorite, because it's a very social book. She is talking about all the social injustice that there exists in Brazil, and also the problem with the African descendant, and how the situation kept people without education and health and many other problems. She was very much into justice and social issue, because she came from a very, I will not say poor family, but very humble family. Later on, she was married. So, tell.
She was married from 1943 to 1959.
To a
diplomat, that's right. And she spent a lot of her time in Europe, I believe.
Yeah, she was living with him, and from one day to another she left Geneva and came back to Rio because she couldn't stand Switzerland. And she missed, I guess. Immigration is not easy for anybody. And then she had two sons. Did you know that? She has two sons, one of which was a little bit retarded. German Shepherd, we said. German Shepherd, the dog. And that dog used to drink Coca-Cola. She offered to him Coca-Cola, and he loved Coca-Cola. And they were very, very compatible. There are many pictures of him with her. She loves animals. She used to go to the zoo and just sit there and look at the animal. Now I am going to explain what we are going to do today with our game. The book that I wrote is, I select, Clarice wrote in the Jornal do Brasil chronic every week. And I select from those chronic words that seem to me reflects her way of thinking, her way of writing, her philosophy, and her genius. She was, no doubt, very, very, very intellectual and very intelligent and very creative and very hermetic. We used to call her literature very hermetic. And I select those words and I put it in the frame of a dictionary, because I have been obsessed by dictionary my whole life. And Flaubert, Borges, Alfonso Calderón, and myself and many others wrote a dictionary. And this is Lispector's Intimate Dictionary. This is the name of the book. And my friend here, he is going to read. First, I'm going to read in Spanish the word, and then he is going to read in English. So we are celebrating today life through languages, Spanish, Portuguese, English, and obviously French, that forever. And this program is dedicated to my beloved husband. So we will start with, la cosa más difícil de hacer debe ser escribir un diccionario, porque no hay verdades, no hay sinónimos y no hay una explicación posible.
The most difficult thing to do is to write a dictionary, because there is no truth, there are no synonyms, and there is not a possible explanation.
Mi vida y los diccionarios, my life and the dictionary has been in forever because my father spoke 5 languages and I kept all his dictionary and was the way that how you learned languages. And also I was very curious, very little, when I learned how to read about love. So I was always looking for the word and the definition of love. Until one day I asked my mother, why love? Why all the songs speak about love? Why the dictionary has so many? What is love? Oh, you will learn. Oh, that for sure. I learned. Okay. Abrazo. Después fui a abrazarlo controlando mis lágrimas. Yo abrazaba la muerte.
After I went to hug him, controlling my tears, I was hugging death.
Yeah, that happened when I went to see my beloved friend, Therese. She was dying of ovarian cancer. And when I gave her the last hug, I remember this sentence from Clarice. And I hold her tight, and we look each other, and we knew she had 3 more weeks. That was it. That is the reason because we came from Chile to see her. And she looked at me with that face, I will never forget, telling me, this is it, Consuelo, no more. And I said, you will be always in my mind. And I was hugging death. Exactly, I felt, and I remembered Lispector, and I thought, oh, how wonderful sentence. Is that true? It's so true. Okay.
So, Consuelo, yeah, these definitions are Clarice Lispector's definitions of words, and the book that they're published in was called A Dictionary of Intimacy.
Yes.
So these definitions specifically relate to her emotions in her life.
Yeah, but they were not written as a definition. They were written as a chronic. So they are part of a chronic, and these are thought and sentence. And I rescue them from the context of the chronic, and I translate it, and I put it in as a dictionary.
So part of her journals that she was published in for how many years in Brazil?
20 years, more or less.
20 years. And so you've kind of compiled the dictionary of her meanings in this book.
Yeah, but I said I did the dictionary. She didn't.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
It's my creativity. The dictionary was my idea, and I also rescue her thought that I love it, and because they are so profound. Keep going. The next one. But read the letter first. Oh, I read first in Spanish. It's true. Amor. Pero hay la vida, que es para ser intensamente vivida, hay el amor, que tiene que ser vivido hasta la última gota, sin ningún miedo, no mata. Love.
But there is life.
No, read love, the word love.
The word love.
Yes.
But there is life, that should be lived intensely. There is love, there is love. Life must be lived until the last drop. Without fear, it does not kill.
Isn't that profound? Of course, it's very profound. And also, who has, I think, if we don't trust people and if we don't attach to people and we have meaningful relationship with the people we select, what is life? Love is the most important. And all the philosopher and the thinker has arrived to that conclusion. Even our guru, like Jesus Christ and many other, love is what gives other life meaning and what keep us going when we are in the ground. When you love somebody, sooner or later, it's possible that that person will stop loving you, and you have to accept it, and that is a risk, but at the same time, it's a wonderful feeling. But also the love to your country, the love to the new country, to your friend, to your colleague, to your activities, to nature. There are so many kind of love, but the most important thing is to love. And like she said, until the last drop. That means that even if you are Bloody Mary, okay, you have to. What do you think? Have you loved that much in your life, Jonathan?
You know, I was just considering that for love, for us to recognize it as a force in English, especially, like, we've only got one word for it.
Yeah.
But we've got, like, you know, 5-6 words for rain. The Eskimos have, like, dozens of words for snow or you know, for, and why do we only have one word for love? It's really a disappointment.
I agree, because you don't make the distinction between te quiero in Spanish and te amo. Te quiero is like I love my coworker, but I te amo is somebody special, like Griffin, my dog, the dog that I take for a walk twice a week. I have a dear connection with him, so it's more than I love, and I don't know how to say it, so I tell him, te amo, Griffin, te amo, and because it's true, it's a very good point, Johan, that the English in terms of affection is very poor. One time when I was teaching Spanish, I told my student that the affection in English was only shown by sweet sugar. honey, sugar, and all the words were sweet. The pie, you are the apple of my eyes, sweet. You see, it's very interesting, yeah. Because in Spanish it's not that way. And there are the honey and
it's an excellent observation.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Animales, yo primero. Animales. Me parece que siento a los animales como una de las cosas aún más próximas a Dios.
It seems I feel the animals of all the creatures are even closer to God.
Yeah, like I said, she used to go to a zoo to observe animals. She has several stories about animals. She was very in touch with animals, to the point that the book that I wrote, I dedicated so many people, but also to my two golden retriever, Sunny and Shadow, because I thought, not only because I love them dearly, but because of her. I wanted to be more connected to her in her love to animals. And she taught me a lot about that and brought a new feeling about animal that I didn't have before because of her.
And that's really...
Hey, Consuelo, can I say something?
Yes.
Well, I love what you just said. I think it's... I identify with that. What you said, animals are closer to God. That's what your friend thought.
Yes.
That's exactly what... I don't know, culturally and individually, that's what I believe, so.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So please continue.
San Francisco, bueno, you have San Francisco, the way how he was so close to animal and not only spoke to them, but he had a terrific connection. I think the inspector has another sentence that is interesting. She said, the person who is afraid of animal is because is afraid to see the animal in herself. And perhaps I was that way before.
Mm.
Yeah.
I really, my mind went when you were talking about your golden retrievers. I was like, wow, retrieving gold from the shadows. That's just like the essence of mythology right there. That's why we write, is to retrieve gold from our shadows. You know?
Beautiful.
So that's really wonderful.
Beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful in itself. Okay. Anonimato. El anonimato es suave como un sueño. Yo estoy necesitando de ese sueño. No soy una persona importante. Soy una persona común que quiere un poco de anonimato.
Anonymity. Anonymity is soft like a dream. I am in need of that dream. I am not an important person. I'm an ordinary person who wants a little bit of anonymity.
Okay, I will tell our people that they can call us anytime. And these are very interesting thought. And our phone number here is 503-231-8187. And for the listeners that they are just arriving or turn on the radio, here we are with Ender, our boss, and with Johan, our friend, and myself, talking about Clarice Lispector and playing a little bit with her word, and talking a little bit also about my own autobiography, because it was time also to see, to talk about some personal experience that I have had over my life. And again, I will ask you to collaborate with this wonderful station. We need to reach the $22,000 to keep supporting. And this way you allow this kind of program and many other beautiful programs that we have every day. And you can do it by text KBOO to 44321. Don't forget. Any penny does help and bring a lot of hope to all of us.
And also, remember to, you can go also go to kboo.fm/give, kboo.fm/give. You can also mail to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon.
Very good. You see, he's the boss, so he knows what he's doing. Okay, keep going. We have aprender. Lo que aprendí, ya lo olvidé. Más tengo la certeza de que algún modo se quedó en mí. Aprendí a no romper nada de lo que escribo.
To learn. What I learn, I forget. But I have the certainty that somehow it stays with me. I learned not to destroy anything I write.
Yeah, I will say, what I learned already, I forget, but I have the certainty that somehow it stay in me. I will say that. I learned not to destroy anything I write. Myself too. Even I have so many things, and then I reread it. Happened to you too, that we read again, and we lost a kind of... we think, oh, this is worthwhile, this is not worthwhile, and we tend to put it in the garbage or in the recycle. And it happened to you about your writing?
Oh, there's ups and downs, yes.
Up and down? Yeah, but what do? You throw it away or you keep it, everything you write? Because this is what she's saying.
I don't throw out my writing.
No. Oh, you know. Yeah. So you are like her when she said, I learned not to destroy anything I write. Okay, we have a caller. This is it. Hi, this is Consuelo.
Hi, Consuelo. This is Norma.
Oh, how nice, my dear.
Yes. I have two questions, actually.
Good.
One, I want to know how to spell the last name of Clarice.
Okay, Lispector. Lispector is this way. Can you spell it for her?
It is L-I-S-P-E-C-T-O-R.
Okay. All right. Great. I had it close, but not quite.
good enough.
And the other, I would like to know, I would like to have some response from both you and Johan to the desire for anonymity, or, the last reading you did.
Yes. You can read it again, Johan. Anonymity.
Anonymity is soft like a dream. I am in need of that dream. I am not an important person. I am an ordinary person who wants a little bit of anonymity.
So, yeah.
So what does that mean to you?
To me first or to Johan? Johan.
Either one.
You first.
Let's
No, you first. Yep.
I'm definitely an ordinary person, and I believe that in being recognized as an ordinary person is one of our highest goals. There's a phrase, I forget how to say it in Lakota and Dakota languages, which basically describes the goal of most people is to be considered an ordinary man or an ordinary person. So Clarice is right here with just what it means to be able to have an ordinary life, you know, to recognize friends, to recognize tastes, sights, smells, and all that is encompassed within anonymity. Because if somebody's watching everything you do, if somebody thinks that everything you do is important, then, you know, how you tie your shoes or, you know, what you bought from the grocery store is becomes like this overemphasized propaganda, essentially. But with anonymity, you just get to live your life and make your decisions and you know, one step at a time, one day at a time. And I think that's the best way for us to recognize our own hearts.
Yeah, I will go, we can thank and also dedicate it to Princess Diana, that she suffered that problem, not to be enough, not to be respect her own identity and her anonimato. Anonymity. How we pronounce anonymity?
Anonymity.
Anonymity. In my case, I have a completely different view of my friend here. I think we are all anonymity. We all have that because it's very hard to really get to know somebody else. So we all have that kind of secret place that is only for us, that we don't share with anybody. And we can share the exterior life, like in her case, Lispector was very well known in her own country, so she had a lot, even she rejected because she didn't like, because she was a reserved person. And but she has to give interview and she has to get to know people in the artistic or literary field in Brazil and in other places in the world. And probably that caused some stress in herself because she was very reserved. But in my case, I am not that reserved that she is. I think everybody is special and unique. But also, even I am a very extrovert person, as you know me well, my dear, I still, there's something that I keep for myself that I put in my writing. And when people read what I have write, they said, why you don't do, you don't express more, why you don't, why you don't explain why this character did that and that and this and that. And I said, look, in life I explain everything. When I write, I am very reserved. I don't want to put in my reader what I think. I want my reader to interpret and to look for their own answer. I am not here to give answer to people. I am here to bring question to people. That is my role as a writer. What do you think?
Yes, I think I like both of your answers. Do you think she, well, in that she was wanting a dream of anonymity.
Anonymity.
And so do you think that she was feeling that pressure?
Yes, I think, yeah, for sure she was feeling that pressure. She has another word and that I didn't choose for this, for the program, where she said, the interview, the journalist came here and I was very surprised because after all, she knew more about myself than myself. Isn't that great? I mean, yes. This is, she has that irony, always the irony. And it's true because the journalist was so well prepared and probably she was a fan of Lispector that told Lispector thing that she already forgot or that she didn't want to talk about it.
Yes.
So that was one way to say, no, you don't ask me about those things because they're so personal. So I will say, and this is related with the last movie called May December, where the journalist come to a family to interview the family about something that happened many years ago. It's a true story. It happened in the United States. And you realize that even if you know so much, you don't know ever enough.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. I hope to talk to you this weekend.
Thanks for your questions, Norma.
Look for her books.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Bye. Do we have another caller? No? Okay. So you keep going. It's me. Autodestructiva. Soy fuerte, pero también destructiva. Autodestructiva. ¿Y quién es autodestructiva? También destruye a los demás.
Self-destructive. I am strong, but also destructive. Self-destructive. And who is self-destructive also destroys others.
Yeah, I can relate completely to this. I think in some way, I have to say, I destroy my own marriage with my lack of empathy and perhaps lack of love and lack of patience. And I was unable to understand what he was going through. And I used that self-destructive feeling for myself because I felt miserable. Still, I do in some ways. And yes, we do destroy others without even other that we love. And could be that we are selfish and we have to survive. It was between him or myself. And I chose myself. It's hard to understand. I will explain that in my next book. Because it has been taking me a year to understand what was going on with me at that time. Why was I was so angry and upset about the life that I was living and why I was so self-destructive. And I passed that to Fred without even wanting to.
And today is the year anniversary of his passing?
Yes, today is the day and anniversary. I don't think so, but because there are nothing to celebrate. Even in some way, I am sure he is much better where he is because he was a very normal, as you love him very much and like him, and you travel with him 5 times all over the world. You know that everything I can say about him is little, because he was a very kind, intelligent, great guide, great son, good father, and he was, in his own way, a very good husband, and I am very thankful to him. But to be self-destructive, especially happened to people who has low self-esteem, and or who are so much egotistic, and in some ways is not a very nice characteristic, and we should try to work about it. Okay, next. Azul. Vemos el azul, miramos al cielo. La tierra es azul para quien mira del cielo. Azul, ¿será un color en sí o es una cuestión de distancia? ¿O una cuestión de una gran nostalgia? Lo inalcanzable es siempre azul.
Blue. We see the blue, we look at the sky. Earth is blue for those who see it from the sky. Blue will be a color itself, or a matter of distance, or a question of great nostalgia. The unreachable is always blue.
Yeah, it is interesting how the painting, like Picasso, he has that blue period where everything was blue. And it's true what she said in terms of when I am flying or when I am in front of the ocean, where I haven't been for a year, I am dying for going to a beach, and you see the color and you feel that, yes, it's unreachable, it's something beautiful. And some people are unreachable to us, and that made them more mysterious and attractive. I know that for sure. What do you think? Do you have something about it? Blue is your color? It's my color. I love it.
Well, I instantly thought of the song by the band The Who called Behind Blue Eyes, where they say no one knows what it's like to be behind blue eyes. So that it's obviously you and Clarice and whoever wrote the Who song was tapping into an archetype, right, of somehow blue maintaining a level of unreachable, of unknowingness. And yeah, it's interesting that it's there across, you know, a couple of different generations and definitely a couple of languages, because I don't think anybody from the Who spoke Portuguese.
Yeah. So it's also, it is interesting that we think about the color as heaven. So we think, we relate religion, heaven, with the sky and blue. So it's something very profound that the color mean that is unreachable. For sure, I am not thinking that I'm going to heaven. I will be at the door knocking and disturbing probably. But who cares? Anyway, brainstorm. Es preciso tener coraje para hacer un brainstorm. Nunca se sabe lo que puede venir a asustarnos.
Brainstorm. You need to have the courage to brainstorm. You never know what can scare us. But before we go on, could you actually just say brain and storm in Espanol?
No.
Why not?
Because it's an anglicismo. We use the word in English.
I know, but
anglicismo means when we bring the word from the English to our language. Like cocktail, we said aperitivo, but many people in Chile said cocktail.
No.
What do you want to say?
Well, I wanted to say, for me, the word brainstorm is in a box already. I know what a brainstorm is, but I've never heard the word brainstorm spoken in Spanish. And so for me, hearing it in Espanol might open up that box. It might create a new idea that I haven't had before. But if you feel like it's not important, then...
No, it's important, but doesn't exist. So we took it from the English.
Word, the word brain exists in Espanol.
Yeah.
And what is that word?
Cabeza.
Cabeza.
Yeah.
And the word storm, what is that?
Pero brain is more than cabeza, es cerebro. Es cerebro, no es la cabeza, es el cerebro. Okay. It's the brain, the way how you think. So I really think that brainstorm is something very necessary to do with yourself. What does it mean? To have a introspection about who you are, where you are going, what kind of life are you having, what kind of activity, and to ask this question to yourself and to have your own brainstorm. That is the reason, because as she always was very intelligent, she said, we can find something that can scare us. Yes, and in my opinion, it's very, very important to get to know your dark side. It's one way to accept who you are. And it's part of being self-destructive, to be able to recognize your weakness and accept it. And to work in that is one way to grow. And in some way, you are making a brainstorm every day.
You'll never be able to retrieve the gold from the dark side if you don't know where the dark side is.
Exactly right. You are exactly right. And I encourage people to do the brainstorm and put it in a paper and write a little sentence or paragraph, nobody care, and to help you to get to know who you are. And why you have done the thing you have done. You not only need a counselor, you need yourself. Nobody knows you better than you know, or you should know. Okay, the next word is consuelo. La palabra consuelo sobrevino sin yo sentirla. Yo no la noté. Y cuando fui a buscarla, ella ya se había transformado en carne y en espíritu. Ya no existía más como pensamiento. Consuelo.
Yeah, that's not next on my list, but
here it is.
The word consuelo, consuelo. The word consuelo came to me without me feeling it, and I didn't notice it. And when I went to look for her, she did not exist anymore. She had transformed into flesh and spirit. It no longer existed as a thought.
This is a wonderful definition, because also, as we were talking before about the word love, the word consolation in English doesn't really tell you exactly what consuelo means in Spanish. Because the work, when I am working, people ask me, what does it mean, consuelo? So I have to look for a definition. And I said, it's the person who provide you comfort. Yeah, but it's not exactly that. It's the person who provide you with empathy. Yeah, it's closer. It's the person who is solidary with you. It's the person who feel compassion toward you. In my case, the name came because my parents suffered very much with one of my brother, my favorite brother, who died also during the month of March a year ago. And so when my mother got pregnant, my father told her, if it's a girl, we are going to call her Consuelo, because she will become our consolation. She will be the apple of our eyes, and she will be exactly what we need. Indeed, it was difficult to carry the name because of all the expectation. So during my teenager year, I wasn't necessarily a good consolation to anybody. And my mother, every time she could, she said, you are not being the consolation. You are not being my consuelo. And it's true, I wasn't. And I said, this is part of growing up. So understand, it will pass. And it did pass. And over the year, I became that consuelo that they wanted and I wanted to be for them. It's a beautiful name. It's a Spanish name. The other question is why it finish in O and in O and A, because it's a female name. Because it's a noun. It's consuelo. The verb is consolar. Okay. Coser. Hay gente que cose por fuera, yo coso por dentro.
To sew. There are people who sew on the outside. I sew on the inside.
This is a beautiful sentence. I love it, because she used a vision, like to sew, and when she said, I sew for inside, for she was hermetic, she was very private, and she was always looking at herself from the inside, and this is what she's saying. So it's exactly, it's very autobiographic, what she, the way how she expressed it. And this is what we should do. And sometimes when we are hurt, because we all have been hurt, we need to be hurt sometime to learn. This is what we do. We start sowing all our sorrow and pain. And so this way we become a new person and we survive. What do you think about that? What do you not think about that?
I agree that when that hurt can be a teacher. I don't think that we have to be hurt in order to learn, but I believe that hurt is best transformed into lessons and recognizing.
Yeah, probably I was so stronger, but we all know that life is made of sorrow and happiness. Okay, I remind our listener that we are here, and we will be very happy to have your question and your call, 503-231-8187. And please, don't be shy. We are in a very special day and having a lot of fun, the three of us here. So you can comment and you can participate. My friend who call every time, he hasn't called me yet, and I am expecting him to do it. Creación. La creación artística es un misterio que se me escapa, felizmente. Yo tengo miedo antes y durante el acto creador. Lo encuentro demasiado grande para mí.
Creativity. The artistic creation escapes me. Happily, I am afraid before and during the creative act. I find it too big for me.
What about you? Do you find it too big for yourself, Johan? the creation process?
I don't consider that I'm creating necessarily. I'm expressing, which I think is different. Would you like to participate? I mean, they're related, but I think that one, it's easier for me to want to express myself than to want to create.
Yeah. Do we have a call? Okay. Hi, this is Consuelo.
Oh, thank you, Consuelo. Here I'm sitting in my room in Portland. Name is Richard. I listened to you a few weeks ago. Two things. One, that beautiful image of the color blue.
Yes.
Going back.
Yes.
There sometimes, maybe once or twice a year, some words that I read like stick in my heart, my mind. And there's a poem by Lermontov, Mikhail Lermontov, the Russian poet.
Yeah.
And he says, there's the simple words I think of all the time. He says, I walk out on the flinty road on a starry night. And then he says, he has an image. He says, the earth in cobalt aura sleeps.
Oh.
The earth in cobalt aura sleeps. So he's seen from way out in space, looking at the earth in cobalt aura. So that cobalt, it like magnifies the majesty, if you will, of the blue.
Yeah, and beautiful.
So that caught me when you kept coming back to the word blue. The other thing is, like that brainstorm caught me too, listening to you. I'm 80 years old now, and all our life, like since 5 years old, I'm contemplating, who am I? What is this? And all these things. You get older, even 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, still thinking. But here's the thing. Now, even in the last year or two, I'm really brainstorming because death is near. Death is closer. And trying to grab hold of all the life I can and give it meaning, or let the meaning come to me, if you will. And so the brainstorm, it never ends. And sometimes you think you have an answer, but then it gets deeper and deeper. And then 10 years goes by and you make a new discovery. And so anyway,
I think it's beautiful. I congratulate you because that shows your curiosity, your power of observation, and your good memory. And so if you are 80 years old, that is an accident. Time doesn't exist. It's only a creation. And I think you have many more. And I hope you will keep that nice spirit and to enjoy every second, because as you said, we are all close to death. This is something that nobody will miss. And we should enjoy life as much as we can. Thank you very much, and keep listening to our program. And look for Lispector book, The Hour of the Star. It's a beautiful book. You would like it.
I will consider one last thing.
Yeah.
Also, one idea is Chris Abani, I think his name is. He was a black African poet, still alive.
Yeah.
Something else caught me in the last year that stuck in me. He said, the wound is where the light enters.
Very good. Beautiful.
So that relates to something you were saying today also.
Yes.
Okay, all
yes.
the best.
Very good. Thank you very much. I do appreciate. In terms of creativity, I will think that it's a miracle. I mean, I feel completely what she said. I am always afraid because of the white page. We all know that. And to feel a block that you are not capable to keep going with what you want to write. And also, when you finish and you read, even if it's not excellent, you feel, where did this come from? I didn't think that about this word. I didn't think about the story. And sometimes the character take you somewhere, or the visual image take you somewhere where you haven't thought about it. And that is a reason, because many times I dance and I write dancing. I take note a few times, but most of the time I start thinking and visualizing the plot or the poem or the short story. And it's a miracle. is something that you don't know where that comes from. Probably in the next century, the writer will know what place, we know already what place in the brain, but how it works, I think, is talent. That's all. Okay, the last one is reflects the inspector very well. La empleada o empleada. La señora escribe libros. Respondí que sí, un poco sorprendida. Ella me preguntó sin dejar de limpiar y sin levantar su voz si yo le podía prestar uno. Me quedé atónita, fui franca. Le dije que a ella no le gustarían mis libros porque ellos son un poco complicados. Fue entonces que, continuando con la limpieza y con su voz aún más suave, me respondió: me gustan las cosas complicadas, no me gusta el agua con azúcar.
Maid. Does she write books? I replied yes, a little bit surprised. She asked me, without stopping, cleaning, and without raising her voice, if I could loan her one of my books. I was amazed. I was up front. I told her she would not like my books because they are a little bit complicated to understand. At the same time, she was still cleaning, and with a softer voice answered me. I love difficult and complicated things. I don't like water with sugar.
This is a very sweet story. I love it since the moment I read the first time, and I still love it, because it reflects both women and reflects the another miracle of life. My own maid in Chile, who was with us for almost 30 years, one day I told her, I said, you can pick any book from my library. And she said, okay, I want to read what you read. I said, great. I read a lot of psychology and sociology. Do you like to that? No, I want to read your book. So I passed to her my books. And it was tremendous wisdom in her view of the word of the book, on the book. And the same situation happened here. She's a maid, probably Afro-American, very poor, not very well educated, but she knows how to read and how to write. And she knows that her boss or her mom is a writer and a famous writer. And she wants to get in touch with her, knowing what she does. And she finished that, I don't like water with sugar. Why is that? Because this is one of the things that poor people drink in Brazil. And it's very common, because in some way doesn't make you feel so hungry. And it represents a full group of people, and a group of people that Lispector was always very concern about, and her literature, like I said before, follow that view. And she think, as I do, that our right is to make question and also to show what is going on, that there are other people that they need their need and their right, and we should write about them. It's not always about us, it's more than them, that us. And in that regard, she really fulfilled her role very, very much. She has so many books where you can find always very hermetic, very hermetic. That is her style. The other day, I went to Powell here in Southeast, and I saw a book of her in English. I was very, very happy, to the point that I told one of the guys who were there, and he said, my partner loved Lispector. Really? And I was surprised. Yeah, she loved very much. My partner is a poet herself, and I invite her to the program, so probably she will be here during the month of April. And he said, we both love her very much. And I said, I wrote a book about Lispector. And he said, bring it. And they bought it. So it's in Spanish, but it's there. Any comment from you, John? Johan?
No hablo español.
No hablo español, but I was speaking English. So this is an introduction to Clarice Lispector, and I strongly recommended you to look for her books. And there are some autobiography now. No, she never wrote her own autobiography. And I am very pleased with the two questions that we, two people that call us. We always want more. Ender keep telling me this is a public affair program where people should ask and call. So this, we need more call. I encourage you to participate. And if you can read a poem or anything, we are very happy to have you on the radio, on the air, or by phone. You can choose whatever you want. Today, the song is The Girl of Ipanema, because it's appropriate. She was very Brazilian. Lispector loved her country, spoke very, very nice. I listened to her. There are some videos and interview where she's speaking with kind of accent, Portuguese, but her life was essentially Brazilian. She was a garota do Brasil. I hope to be with you in one other week and have fun. I appreciate that Johan came and made me company, and he read in English. I wanted the program to be multilingual because the book was written in Spanish, and because a way to honor South America and the Americas and women writer. Thank you very much. And The Girl of Ipanema. Muito obrigado.
And tan and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently, that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. So sadly, how can he tell her he loves her? Yes, he would give his heart gladly, but each day when she walks to the sea, she looks straight ahead, not at him.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.